When I'm on my way to this station on Friday evenings, I sometimes see groups on the Coolidge Bridge roundabout holding signs in support of Palestine or waving Israeli flags. On April 19th, I was lucky enough to speak with a few of those people. The first voice we have is Ruslan. He was waving American and Israeli flags, and I asked him, what was he doing out there?
I'm out here to support peace, but, you know, primarily for Israel, right? Because Israel was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're responding to the attack.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but I do want the conflict to end, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So, when did you start coming out here?
I mean, this is my, I think, third time, but...
Yeah?
I'm not always in the area. I'm traveling.
Yeah?
So, if I'm in the area, then I'll come out.
Yeah. Okay. So, how do you feel, just currently, how do you feel about the conflict between Israel and Iran that's been going on right now?
Oh, that one, I don't have 100% formed opinion.
Okay.
I was kind of, to be honest, of the mind that, you know, Israel killed the general in Syria.
Yes.
And then Iran responded,
right,
and it failed even more than Iran was expecting.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be enough, that Israel should not have to respond again.
Right.
But I know they did launch one missile
yesterday. Yeah.
But interestingly enough, at least as of now, Israel has not admitted to it, and even Iran hasn't admitted to it.
True. Well, Iran has tried to downplay the... They said there wasn't as much discussion or something like that. Wasn't any loss of life and things like that.
And you might recall 12 years ago or so, a nuclear power plant in Syria was destroyed.
Right.
And Syria and Israel both essentially said, we don't know what you're talking about. Because Israel doesn't want to admit what they did, and Syria or Iran doesn't want to admit the damage that they took from... And this is the thing.
Yeah.
You know this when the Arabs often, the enemies of Israel, speak about Israel. They rarely use the word Israeli.
Okay.
Right? They always talk about Yahud, al-Yahud. It's always about the Jews, never
right.
The Israelis. And that already is a little bit of a hint of racism or whatever, you know, whatever word.
Yeah. Iran and Israel have not been the best of friends.
No.
So that makes sense.
But interestingly enough, Iranians... especially Jewish Iranians, can get a visa to go travel to Israel. And
right.
I've seen it firsthand. I don't think Iran allows anyone from Israel into their country.
I would doubt it.
Yeah.
Probably. So, no. Going back to the Israel and Hamas conflict, I know that you were looking for peace. And you're supporting Israel in how they're trying to get that peace. Your opinion on the solution that might happen?
I mean...
Oh.
Huh?
I said hello.
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 Are you in support of Palestine?
Yes, I support peace for Palestinians and for Israelis.
Oh, but to be in favor of both, you have to support and to denounce
the
genocide.
Hamas. There's no genocide.
There's no genocide. Okay, come on.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well,
now, you know what?
Let the gentleman talk.
No, because we were talking and you interrupted, and now you're getting rude. How is it a genocide?
It's a genocide.
Hold on.
It's one of the worst genocides of this century.
No, it's not. Of this century?
Sir,
have you heard of Sudan?
Sir,
have you heard of the Rohingya
Muslims?
No. Right.
No, this is
not a genocide.
This is about colonization.
No, it's
they
not.
They are just genocide to prevent them from being free.
So that voice was a gentleman named Maj. He was there to take part in the stand-up for support of Palestine. And they got into a heated discussion about the conflict. We'll hear from him later. We got back to talking with Ruslan.
The one thing that gentleman said?
Of course.
He said it was the worst genocide of this century, right?
Right.
First of all, I contest it's even a genocide, right? They're fighting a war. In war, there's collateral damage, always.
Okay.
Right? So I'm not saying civilian deaths are... not sad, but genocide has to have a particular intent to purposely kill.
Okay.
Right? And if Hamas wants to operate out of civilian infrastructure,
yeah,
even by the Geneva Convention, and I can show you the exact quote.
Yes.
If a military force uses a civilian place as a base of operation, it becomes a legitimate target.
Right.
I mean, yeah. And then secondly...
A civilian base of operation, you said.
Right. Like if a military wants to operate out of hospital, which Hamas has done, then it's a legitimate target. Okay. The Geneva Convention says that. The Red Cross standards say that. And then he's saying it's the worst genocide. I don't think he's aware of what was happening in Myanmar with the Rohingya Muslims. And also in, what was it, even recently in Sudan.
Right.
I'll say one thing.
Yes, please.
This war started on October 7th when Hamas entered Israel and killed 1,200 civilians and took 200 or 200-something hostage. And I know some people are going to say, oh, it goes back, the war started in 1948. And I can say, well, maybe the war started in 1600s when Ottomans took over. Maybe the war started in 800 AD when Muslims took over, right? Because, yes. By the way, you know the Dome of the Rock.
No, I do not.
In Jerusalem, you always see it in all the pictures of Jerusalem, the golden dome in the center of the city, mm-hmm. right? It's Dome of the Rock. It's where Muhammad, praise be upon him, rose to heaven. Do you know what was on that site originally?
No, I do not.
The first and second Jewish temple, the holiest site in Judaism. So it's a very big coincidence that there's also a Muslim holy site built on top of the holiest site in Judaism. So to try to tell me that Jews have no claim to the land is ridiculous. And anyway, my point is, okay, fine. You can say the war started whenever.
Yes.
We can go back to 100,000 years ago when the first apes started to become humans. But the point is, this battle was started on October 7th, right? And what's happening? Both sides are fighting. And what happens? When does a battle end? When does a war end?
Yes.
When one side decides enough and they surrender. So far, Israel has not surrendered, and so far, Hamas hasn't surrendered. So we keep fighting.
What do you say about the, I think it's over 30,000 civilians that have died?
Yes.
Since October 7th, that is a fantastically large loss of life.
It is, yeah.
For a population that's very small and very concentrated.
No, it's absolutely sad, but again, it's a war, and if Hamas wants to operate among civilians, I mean, there's going to be collateral damage. I mean, it's that simple. And by the way,
yes.
I'm 100% support a ceasefire if Hamas releases the hostages. If Hamas releases all the hostages, believe me, I'll be front and center holding a sign calling for ceasefire. Because then, as far as I'm concerned, Israel has achieved their objective to get back the people that were kidnapped.
How do you feel about how the war is being fought? With how the weapons are being used in Gaza, I know that you've explained the loss of life and
right.
everything. Some targets have been large explosions and not targeted at certain places.
Yeah.
Some attacks have been overwhelming force.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, I'm not a military expert, but there maybe should be some things that Israel has done incorrectly, and they admitted to it, right?
Yeah.
Like when they killed those aid workers. And the people who ordered that were already relieved of duty and possibly facing, court-martial, right?
Yeah,
so
charges, yeah.
Now, I wonder, does Hamas also reprimand their people when they purposely target civilians? And the answer is no, because that is their objective, as evidenced on October 7th and many other times.
Okay.
I have read some things both from US military and British military saying that what they're seeing for the operations of Israel in such a densely populated civilian area, that they're kind of shocked that the civilian deaths aren't higher. So really, I think Israel has kind of created the framework for how to conduct urban warfare.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it. And good luck with your standout here.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So at this point, I was able to speak with Maj. He was there just to participate in the standout for Palestine. And it was really interesting to speak with him about the opposing view.
You are out here supporting or against the war in Israel-Palestine, yes?
Yeah, I mean, this is the third time I come to this gathering, and I love it because people are very open-minded, and I love that. I didn't see anybody who was like completely one side.
Right.
People are they see what's happening, and they get really very shocked, and they have a balanced position. Yes, everybody needs is worth having peace, but those people who are occupied since 75 years, occupied and mistreated and killed every day, they have the right to be free. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important. Is, yeah, the United Nations recognized that there are two states. Israel is occupying the other state. That the United Nations said there should be two states. So that's my point of view. Mm-hmm. Of course, my sympathy goes to the people who are dying every day, mm-hmm. every minute. That's horrible. And when I said to this gentleman that this is one of the worst genocides that happens in our time, and I wish I was not of this world before this came by. Mm. I wish I was dead or not existing, because this is horrible. This is just horrible. Children killed, like 15,000 children, 20,000 women. I mean, what is this? If that's not genocide, what is genocide?
Yeah, it is. It's a horrific loss of life.
Yes. Yes.
I
cry every night when I watch the news. I cry. But that's all what I can do.
How do you feel about people like the Israeli government and people that support that? What do you think about them saying, well, this is us protecting ourselves, this is our, because of the attack from Hamas, since Hamas is legally the representatives of the people like in Gaza. They were voted in as a party in 2008, I believe.
So no, there was elections. The last elections in Palestine was in 2006.
They had the
majority, but you know, they had the majority. They did not even want to monopolize the government, even though they had large majority. There were 75% votes for them. But they say, let's the people who deal with the international arena, let them, give them a chance to bring a sovereignty and peace for the Palestinian people. It didn't work from 2006 to now. They were every day killing, and you know what? The West Bank,
right?
It's one of the theaters of killing every day. The people do not want to be oppressed, do not want to be colonized. They kill them. If you don't want to be colonized, we'll kill you. Right. And at the end, they came to, okay, we'll get rid of them at the pretext I agree that people should not be killed in any way. But they are, if you will agree with me, that a colonized people in the international law have the right to defend themselves, to struggle for freedom. That's an international law.
Is this how you see the conflict, like from October 7th, like the people struggling to
liberate themselves? Because
that was the actions of Hamas?
Yeah, because Hamas, people don't want to remember what Hamas said many times. We are for two-state solution. They say that. They say they don't have any problem with that. But the Zionist Israel does not want that. You know why? Let me give you one aspect of why. They took the land. They built illegal settlements all over the West Bank, and before they were all over Gaza also. But the reason, the real reason, of course, they want to have more land, more, and the aquifer. You know the aquifer.
I believe
the underground water. Mm-hmm. is all in the West Bank, mostly. So they will kill all the Palestinians, including the West Bank people, if they have to give up the West Bank. They will kill anybody, because you know, without water, now the water of the Palestinians that is under the West Bank, they get it for a big fee for their own water. They buy it, right. Really, really bad.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
Very
I really
welcome.
Your name is Maj?
Maj.
Thank you very much.
Thank
sir.
You so much. All I appreciate right. your consideration of interviewing me.
Of course.
Thank you.
Lastly, I was able to speak with one of the organizers for the official standout in support of Palestine, Mark Gervich of Jewish Voices for Peace, and he was able to give me the perspective of a Jewish American who did not agree with the actions of Israel.
And we are out on the roundabout, and you are with
Jewish Voice for Peace.
Jewish Voice for Peace.
Yes.
So why are you out here?
I'm out here because the genocide that's happening right now in Gaza that's being done by the Israeli government, which is calling itself a Jewish state. I am Jewish. I want to make it clear that what's being done is not in my name. It's not anything to do with Judaism. It's basically a racist policy against, and it's really not even, it's called a war. It's not a war. It's one of the strongest armies in the world going against predominantly an unarmed people. And we want to make it clear that this is not what Judaism stands for. It's not what Jews stand for. And that I'm also against the U.S.'s support, essentially, of these policies by Israel. Even though Biden has said some things critical, they're giving all sorts of military aid, bombs, etc., to Israel to continue this genocide. And as a taxpayer, as an American, and as a Jew, I want to see it end, stop now.
So what do you, just playing devil's advocate here, obviously, how do you feel about the Israeli government saying that this is them defending themselves because of the attack on October 7th, and their whole point is just to eradicate Hamas and get the hostages? How do you respond?
I mean, when they say they eradicate Hamas, basically what that means is what they're doing is an attack on the Palestinian people. Hamas is one group among the Palestinian people. They're using this as a way to displace, destroy, push out Palestinians in Gaza. There's no way, clearly, that attacking and destroying a whole people is not a way of defending Israel. Actually, it's a way of, and it has, increasing criticism, increasing censures, increasing attacks upon Israel, which is, we've seen occurred already in that part of the world. What happened on October 7th was was something that was what we'd say is against international law. You don't attack civilians. You don't take civilian hostages. However, that happened on it was a one-day event. They did take hostages, which are still who are still hostages. However, to compare or to even say that what Israel is doing, what's happened in Gaza, the murder of now almost 35,000 predominantly civilians, predominantly women and children, is anyway justified by what happened on October 7th, I think most people realize is kind of absurd. That this goes way beyond any type of defense, way beyond any type of justification. This is just an attack on basically a stateless people, a people without an army, people without really a significant means of defending themselves.
So you think that this conflict, they're using that to push into Palestine or something? Or
I think they're You mean say they? You mean the Israeli government?
I think sorry. Yes, the Israeli government. Do you think that's as a policy they're trying to push into Gaza, the West Bank?
I think that's
as a pretext.
Part of the policy is to resettle the Gaza Strip, which has been resettled by settlers in the past. Part of it is to displace the Palestinian population as much as possible, so as to prevent any sort of resistance to Israeli policies. And, you know, we have to remember that even before this whole events occurred, that Gaza was essentially an outdoor prison. Even though Israel said it left it, in fact, it controlled who went in, who went out, it controlled access by the sea, it controls access by the air, it basically controlled everything that went in and out of Gaza. So it was holding a whole people hostage. So I think that what Israel wants to do is have control of this area, resettle it with Zionist and Israeli citizens, and really has no interest in the welfare at all of their Palestinian neighbors that live in Gaza, the 2 million that do.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
Okay.
What was your name again?
Mark Gervich.
Mark Gervich. And since you are here with an organized group, can you tell us where we can find more information about your opinions and the group here?
Yeah. So I'm with Jewish Voice for Peace, Western Mass, Jewish Voice for Peace, Western Mass, and also Jewish Voice for Peace nationally, has a website, is on Facebook. You can certainly, by Googling us, Jewish Voice for Peace, you'll find all sorts of information on what we do, on our positions, what we are hoping to achieve through these type of actions.
Those are the voices of Ruslan, Maj, and Mark Gervich. All three passionate about the conflict between Israel and Palestine, all spending their Friday evenings standing on a busy roundabout just off the Coolidge Bridge. If you'd like to hear more from Civil Politics, there are a few places you can go. You can listen to us live every Friday evening at 6 p.m. or Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. on Valley Free Radio, WXOJOP 103.3 FM, and streaming on valleyfreeradio.org. Or you can go to civilpoliticsradio.com, where you can find all of our shows and our Civil Politics supplementals.